This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, well, it's 4:31. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order here. Welcome back, everyone. Hope everyone had a nice Thanksgiving break and got some time to relax with friends and family if they were able to. Well, we'll go ahead and get started, and we'll start with the roll call, and I'll let Casey get that going.
All right, Tegan Akinshola.
Here.
Valerie Hamer. Marcy Benda.
Here.
She's on the Zoom. I didn't hear.
Richard Benzel.
Here.
Stephen Katie.
Here.
Nicola Danish.
Here.
Eve DeRosa.
Here. Zoom.
Jacob Feit. Brandon Fortenberry.
Here.
Tom Spock.
Here.
Preston Hanley.
Here.
David Heiner.
Here.
Deborah Howell.
Here.
Carolyn Levine.
Here.
Manaya Lewis.
There's currently an SA meeting going on, so I assume she's also at that, or maybe I'll screw that.
Nice. And then Amelie Anonia.
Same thing. Say. Yeah.
James Richards. Damien Sharp.
Here.
Jessica Withers.
Here.
Right. 14.
All right, thank you very much. Now for the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homeland of the Diagono, the Cayuga Nation. The Diagono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Diagono dispossession, and honor the ongoing connection of Diagono people, past and present, to these land and waters. With that, I will call for any late additions to the agenda. Seeing none, we'll move into approval for the meeting minutes from November 16th. Motions to approve or make
move
edits.
To approve.
We have a motion to approve from Richard, seconded by Thomas there. Any objections? Seeing none, the meeting minutes from November 16th are approved. We'll move into, we have a brief agenda today, so we'll go into just an update on the upcoming visits that we have there. So we have a few slated. One that we're still working out, and one that we have recently gotten an update on. So on January 25th, we'll have the team from the Earth Source Heating, the Cornell Borehole Observatory team will be presenting to us more about that program and how it's going. Then on February 8th, we'll have the Public Safety Advisory Committee presenting to us. On March 8th, we'll have the Office of Student Conduct and Community Standards, the group that oversees the student code of conduct processes, hear more from them about what they have seen so far. And, you know, I've heard from Earth Source and Public Safety Advisory and connected a bit with OSCCS, but I really want to hear how the process is going from OSCCS perspective, student code of conduct. So definitely looking forward to hearing from that group. We also have a couple that were slated to be stated, but one we received confirmation. So David Cutter, who's a university architect and landscape design and architect, that's a great humor, will be coming to talk to us about university signage, focusing a bit on what they're referring to phase one of implementation they're doing on North Campus. That will be happening on February 22nd. February 22nd will be coming to speak to us. I saw David present a little bit about the North Campus initiatives and what they're doing there as far as expansion and signage and wayfinding and how they're really looking for insight and guidance into how to enhance and improve the signage overall, as well as providing some options to make it more adaptable and changeable so that when things do shift and move, they have options. So David will be here to present. And then we have Liz Davis-Frost, who brought to our attention the free period product initiative that has happened and it's come and gone a couple of times, but they're looking to continue support, so would like to come and talk to us a little bit about that initiative, what the University Assembly might be able to do to help. So those are the upcoming visits that we have slated. As always, I encourage you all, if you have thoughts and ideas or questions or folks that we might be interested in having join us, please let us know. Yes, come.
I have two questions related to that. The first one is on the PSEC meeting on February 8th. Do you know who specifically is coming from PSEC?
They are going to confirm with me. I know that Joanne is attending and is hopeful that one of the other committee members would be to attend.
Good afternoon. Awesome. And second question, Liz Davis Frost, or MCV. Liz Davis Frost, we don't have a date for that yet, I assume.
We don't know. We had just responded. Jacob had responded and was going to follow up with some dates. I had a lot of dates out there, so I wanted to make sure we got those solidified before and after the dates are available. So,
sounds great.
We can do that soon. Any other questions? Our thoughts around upcoming visits, or like I said, if folks have ideas, please don't hesitate to send them over. I'm always happy to bring folks to provide us with more information. I find them very engaging and helpful for us. All right. Then with that, we'll move into our new business of the day. UA resolution number 3, increasing the number of sustainable waste receptacles on campus. We have the sponsors here, so one of them would like to take the lead and present it.
Sure, I'll speak to the resolution. So as we discussed at some of the past meetings, there has been a concern about lack of waste disposal infrastructure around campus, specifically in large public areas. But this also presents a pretty phenomenal opportunity because if we're able to adopt this resolution as the way that the drafters have envisioned it, we have a chance to not only reduce Cornell's carbon footprint on campus by requiring less trips to collect trash, but also to increase the number of waste disposal, waste and recyclable receptacles on campus, but also realize some ancillary benefits as well, such as extending the coverage of the campus Wi-Fi network around campus. So one of the major facets of this proposal, as we'd like to see it realized, the sustainable portion, is a piece of technology that Jacob actually brought to our attention. It's a solar-powered trash and recycling system made by a company called Big Belly that actually is placed around campus and self-monitors its level of fullness. So what that means is Cornell facilities will not need to make regular rounds to pick up trash unless a trash or recycling receptacle is actually full. This can reduce both fuel costs and labor costs for the university. Because it's solar powered, it does not require any impact on the campus's electrical grid. And they're actually designed so that they can host in their base Wi-Fi network extenders. So they can actually, if placed strategically, have the ancillary benefit of reducing some of the patchiness of Cornell's Wi-Fi network around campus. Turn it over to the other Gold State sponsors, if any of them want to say anything.
Yeah, so this the point of the resolution, as I drafted last night, pretty much, was just to get it on the floor, moving. And I wanted to make a motion to formally put it on the agenda for the campus committee on infrastructure, technology, and the environment, so we can have that on the ground ready to go back when we're here in the spring. I think that Ian did a fantastic job summarizing everything that Big Belly, and Big Belly is not the only company that does this. There are many different companies. I think that we should strive to look for the one that best suits our campus environment. You know, there obviously is a cost, an initial relatively steep initial investment that needs to take place, but down the line, that investment should pay off in terms of lack of trips or a reduction in the number of trips necessary to collect all the waste. And it also prevents the overflow. We discussed last week, I believe after the meeting, that there was a problem with overflow, specifically on North Campus and as it relates to dining facilities. This prevents that. These garbage cans, unlike the ones that are currently on campus, locked up essentially, so they there is no open space for animals, raccoons, or squirrels, what have you, to get in there and kind of tear up the garbage. But also, as you mentioned, it monitors the level of garbage. So there will never be an instance where the garbage is actually overflowing, causing problems, leaching plastics into the waterways or into the forest. So I think that this is a really a common sense proposal. Yeah.
Yeah, and adding on to that, I think, thank you, Jacob and Ian, both. Seriously, they worked really hard on this. I was fortunate enough to go to the Campus Infrastructure Technology and Environment Committee meeting where this was first discussed. Two things I really like pointing out these things. The first is you probably actually already seen most of these. When I first heard about this technology, Jake first reached out to me. It sounded a little like sci-fi-y, but I didn't realize it's something I got a photo here. Something we all see everywhere, pretty common if you go to the city, go to other universities. There's, I believe, one actually already on a campus. Not too sure though where. But it's relatively, it's something not too crazy. It's not too future focused, but it does a lot to help a lot of the university's missions towards sustainability and building just a better class and work living environment for everyone and the Cornell community. As well as a big thing for me too is just stanza 40 through 47, just highlighting how many of our peer institutes use this technology and recognize the use for it. We heard President Pollock talk a lot about the importance of being really a global leader in a lot of fronts, including climate change, which it's outlined here how we've already done so much. And we have so much more we can do, obviously, there's only so much more we can do to keep being better and keep supporting our commitment to sustainability. And this shows how we can follow in the footsteps of other great universities and do that too.
All right, if the sponsors are done with their presentation, we can open the floor to questions. I see we already have a couple lined up on Zoom. We'll have Caroline, Nick, and then to Thomas. So starting with Caroline.
Great, guys. Thanks for this. And of course, it's always good to have more efficient, better recycling. And I just want to note something that I think is incredibly important, and I think people don't always take account of, which is that recycling is always further down on the list of carbon saving than reduction. And so I don't want us to think that once we've recycled, we've done our work. It's really important that we reduce our use first. And a lot of students don't know this. So we have a new course for all first-year students coming in on sustainability. And people think that recycling is the best thing that they can do for the environment, and it actually is not. So I just want us to be aware that this is a great thing to do, but let's not think that it's the only thing or that we've completed our work when we recycle.
Thank you, Caroline. Nick?
Thank you. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I really strongly support it. I think our campus really, really lacks enough trash and recycling receptacles. The one question that I have, and it's great that Jacob said that it's going to get workshopped a little more, is it really necessary that the last clause is, it kind of reads a little aggressive to me. And if this hasn't ever been brought up to the university, maybe we can, have the same goal, same request and same thing, but maybe not necessarily use language like utmost hypocrisy and just generally change the tone of it to a more positive one.
The sponsors care to respond to either of the comments there?
Since I wrote it, I'll respond after we hear out all the other comments.
Okay.
I'll
go ahead, Thomas, then.
Yeah, well, this looks really interesting, and it may be actually a terrific idea. So I'm glad it's been brought up by the sponsors. But I had 2 points, one main one. The first one is the question of our peer institutions. What is the source of this information? I looked today at MIT's waste disposal web pages all over it, about a half an hour. I couldn't find anything about it.
I can make sure it's dropped the next meeting.
Yeah, because I think it's very. This is the kind of idea that sounds great, and may actually. But it's not that simple as how much diesel gets used in the trucks. There's work. I mean, there may be other things here that.
Yes.
It's not a simple issue.
At this point.
So to the extent it's been actually tested, is very relevant to know.
Sure. If there's actual sources on those points, I can make sure to get those to you. I don't have tickets on those.
Since I wrote it, I have all the sources and I included them in there. I'm not sure why they didn't get included in the final draft, but
okay.
There were tons of sources that I included.
Good.
That had come from their website as well as different corporations. There are different smart ways of recycling. They all term it a little bit differently, but there are all a bunch of different smart.
Well, I'm not interested in what the manufacturers say about it. I'm interested in what's going on at MIT.
Yes.
Especially MIT and Brownworks knows a lot.
You're right about that. Yeah. Okay. So
down south isn't relevant.
So what's that?
That what goes on at Duke is, or wherever else, you know, a place where it doesn't snow.
Okay. Well, why do you say that? Just out of curiosity.
Well, it covers the solar panels for one.
Right.
I mean, and I just, as a general principle, you say, in other words, if it's been tested, that's great. And we should find out what we know about those tests, seems to me, before we push something.
I agree.
And, okay.
No, finish. I'm just going to, whenever you're done.
My other point is I'm going to underscore what Nick said about the last clause. I feel I just have to be blunt about the language here. Personally, I just the self-righteousness that oozes out of that resolution, that clause is I find it repulsive. I mean, if I were reading this on the administration, it's like, who the hell do you think you are? Are we idiots? And, you know, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry. So I just feel it. I have to say that strongly.
No, I was just going to say, so I think this could create some good opportunities for both the Campus Sustainability Office and Facilities Management to liaise with other peer institutions who have done this and try to compare figures as well as get some projections of what current fuel and labor costs are compared to what, you know, could be saved. And actually, the point about, you know, the snow covering the solar panels is a good thing that I hadn't thought of. So there will be a labor cost associated.
It may or not be. It may or may not be an issue. I don't know. That's all.
And I saw Marcy had her hand up, and then I'll go to Jessica.
Hi. Yes. Thank you. So yes, I too had was kind of put off a bit by the end language. It seemed very. It was off-putting. Too strong. And then I think there's just a nicer way to say it. I liked previous resolutions where if further consideration is needed, you know, what, why no, you know, why wouldn't they consider it to be something they'd like to pursue? I think, or some gentler language would be the way it was written, is my opinion.
Jessica?
Yeah, basically the same thing. I really like the idea. I would like to change the look at that last point, that last resolved clause. But I was wondering if, and maybe this is answered by moving it to CIT, but have you done any research on, has Cornell looked at this? If there's one on campus, where is it? Who put it there? Has there been any research like that done already?
So there has been some research. So the one that's currently on campus is over by the Architecture, Art, and Planning School, and they had instituted it as almost a research experiment to see how it would play over there on that part of campus. But so funding, of course, is an issue. And this is, as you mentioned, part of the reason why I wanted to make sure that not only did we not even vote on it, and I'll get to that in a minute. Why I wanted to make sure that it goes to the main first. So the funding is going to be an issue. And we had President Pollack and VP Moline come, what was it, like 2 weeks ago, I believe, to discuss. And they really stressed the point that funding is an issue when it comes to initiatives like this. Given the fact that the college had instituted this as a research initiative, gives us a potential opportunity. And I hadn't included it in this resolution here as it stood because I wanted more workshopping on it, more discussions about it, and I wanted to hear from you all about potentially crafting this language as a research project within this program of waste management in the School of Plant Science and the College of Agriculture, and get the state of New York potentially foot some of the bill as a research initiative. Because in the end of the day, Cornell is a living laboratory, right? That's part of our mission statement. That's stated very clearly in this resolution. So if we want to live up to those values, I think that we ought to implement initiatives and projects in our infrastructure with that in mind. And I think that we can, I don't think it's a stretch at all to frame it as a research initiative. I see it as a research initiative and an opportunity to learn more about this kind of technology. Cornell is a great bubble, if you will, for understanding the way that this technology can serve small cities and potentially even be scaled up to larger cities. So I think that framing this as a research initiative is a really, really powerful opportunity.
Thank you.
Would any of the sponsors care to respond to the statement or to the last results?
Yeah. That I agree with you. Reading it back, I understand it's a little tough. I think that something does need to be said, because we hear oftentimes, or often rather, from university administrators about their commitment to sustainability and their commitment to making sure that our campus is more sustainable. And then we, from my perspective and the perspective of a lot of students, see very little actual tangible action taken. That's my perspective. You're free to disagree. So I want something in there. I feel that it's imperative that we do have something in there, even if it's just an answer from the administration as to why perhaps this wouldn't work. I think that it incorporates all the aspects of our mission statement, all the aspects of our sustainable development plan, our master plan. I can't seem to fathom why this possibly would not come to fruition, if not for perhaps there are, I understand that there are other competing interests at play, but it seems as though that when the administration talks about how important climate change is, and rightly so, I mean, it is the biggest crisis of our generation. It is the biggest fight, biggest challenge that our generation will face, and they decide to put this on the back burner would be shocking to me. I definitely think that we should tone down the language, though. I'm reading it over now for the third time, and it is a little rough.
Yeah, I guess I'll sort of speak on that too. Thank you. I think also one of the beauties of the university assembly is we can come and sit here together and talk about these things. So obviously many of you have shared your opinions, and we have a room full of people, I'm sure, all agree to writing resolutions. So we can put together language, I think, that is more favorable, if a more positive spin is what this room seems to feel is necessary.
And it's not Preston, and I'll go to Richard. But
yeah, my question is mostly for Ian. I feel like you had talked a little bit about a couple weeks ago and before that about asking us for ideas about placement for receptacles. Is that related to this, or is that like something separate?
So it's both related to it as well as separate, I'd say, because there are two issues that do overlap somewhat, though, and I think it's always wonderful when you have an opportunity to solve two issues with one fell blow decisively. So the idea is that, at least as I envision it, if we made our waste receptacle and recycling infrastructure a little smarter, and by smarter, an opportunity like this to actually overhaul it to be smart and driven by data analytics, because, a lot of these smart recycling systems are actually, they're automated, and they actually give you real-time analytics over how full a trash can becomes, from which you can extrapolate trends. You can actually optimize the placement of receptacles based on where the demand is highest and reduce it in some instances where the demand is lowest. So I would still like to increase the accessibility of waste receptacles and recycling receptacles on campus. I can just give you an update on, where the state of that is. I actually have not gotten that much feedback from individuals as to where people would like to see, more trash cans. And, while I can kind of intuit myself, I think it would be a more effective proposal to give the facilities management if there was a little bit more consensus on it. So hopefully, I'm hoping that, that issue combined with this one, can get a little more, interest and excitement around it.
Thank you. Richard, and then I'll go to you.
So, I was thinking about trash and there's a lot of it. I think this treats
only a very small portion. Near Whitehall, where I work, there's a parking lot for two dumpsters. And right nearest the Johnston Museum, one dumpster is sort of for recycled stuff, and the other one is sort of for everything else. Everything else, much of that could be treated, you know, it's food waste, basically. Food waste in plastic, so it can't go out, so it's going to a landfill somewhere. I was thinking, you know, that the volume is high. It's probably as high as all of the trash receptacles on the quad and everywhere else and on the main campus. They're filled almost every day. I was thinking somehow this kind of recycling, but also just parcelling the waste. This is all coming from buildings. So what they're doing is, you know, somebody has a reception or some kind of meeting in which there's food and then there's a lot of food. Brandon, so there's a lot of food in these dumpsters. But it strikes me, you know, it should be part of a comprehensive thing. And then somebody, those dumpsters are incredible.
Thank you, Richard.
Aye. Thank you, Brandon. I love this proposal. I'm so happy you guys brought it to us. I was wondering if this could be written in a way that's more evidence-based, maybe going to CIT to find out, you know, where are the signal drops, going to facilities, where are the most frequent garbage can, and then analyzing, is there, you know, are these correlated? Is there ideal spots that are based on data? I think that would be really compelling, along with the arguments that you guys have already made. And then I thought, in terms of persuasion, a few people have noted that third resolution changes the tone in such a way that it might get a reflexive or defensive stance. And I thought that the proposal was really compelling, even with just the first two resolutions. So I felt like maybe dropping the third resolution plus data would really, and this idea of making it a pilot program, you know, make the investment a few places on campus, get data, know that it works, we're saving money, that we're doing things that are really good for the environment. And so those are just my sort of responses. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll go to Caroline. Are you on mute, Caroline?
Sorry. I just want to reiterate something I said the last time, which is that the Campus Sustainability Office and Sarah Berlinski and Sarah Zemanek are aware of a tremendous amount that's going on, a lot of it not very visible to us. There is comprehensive planning happening all the time. There's a Sustainable Cornell Council that's at work in various ways around the campus addressing food waste. So I think along with Eve's point, great point about gathering more data, I would go to Sarah Braylinski and ask what we already know, because we'll no doubt have a lot of that information and may even be able to talk about what the university has already looked into. So I just want, again, to say, I think there's a lot happening. We just don't always know about it. So this idea that the university talks a good game is a little bit at odds with what's actually happening, which we don't always know about. And I think it would be better for us to do some of that research first before we, and include the data before assuming that they haven't already thought about it, for example.
Thanks, Caroline. I'll let the sponsor respond about Ian and then
Duncan. Just briefly to Caroline, and Ian as well, I'm pleased to report that there actually is a meeting with Sarah Carson, Zemanek, and Sarah Berlinski to workshop this proposal later this week.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess speaking to both points as well, I would similarly highlight the fact that we really are committed to sending this and working it through the committee, as Ian has clearly demonstrated. You know, I think a lot of these, you know, concerns around evidence we can really flesh out more. And if possible, I think we could also look into, you know, getting reports back from this committee, as I assume you'd be more than welcome to, about the process of this and the process of collecting evidence before we next see this in the university assembly. So, you know, concerns about evidence, concerns about language, there's ample opportunity to improve both the tone and, I believe, more of the supporting elements we're looking for. I heard some members have highlighted other people.
Based on what Caroline said, I like the idea of like it being kind of an ongoing process, because I think, you know, as good as it is to have people's kind of subjective suggestions where the, you know, how we should improve things and whatnot, as Ian said, you know, once we have the infrastructure in place to kind of keep monitoring what works and what doesn't work, then you can kind of keep that going back and tweaking. So I think it's important that we, you know, like leave this issue unresolved for future like assemblies and whatnot. Just because it is an ongoing thing, you know, it will need correction in a couple of years if we don't keep that tweaking.
I agree
with that. This, as it's currently written, is a, in all ways that the word can be interpreted, is a rough draft, as many folks have accurately said. There is a lot to be discussed here, but there is also, I think that this is a pretty good starting point to get the conversation rolling. Obviously, we have, as Ian had mentioned, a meeting later this week with folks from the Sustainable Council to kind of flesh this out. And I'd love to have folks from the facilities, as we've mentioned sometimes, come in and discuss some of the data with regards to recycling. I know they had actually added a recycling stream this year, which is very promising. For those of you who don't know, a recycling stream essentially is a new kind of waste that they can accept in terms of recycling. So, you know, if you have the common paper, plastic, metal, they've begun accepting more. I believe we're up to actually 11 streams now, which is remarkable. I can't come up with all 11 off the top of my head, but I know that electronic waste is also in there, which is probably the most pressing, most needed form of waste management. Especially as we transition towards a more sustainable, more electronic-based community, environment, economy. I think that we've really touched on a lot of great points that need to be addressed. I think that the food waste issue is tremendous. You know, I just from walking campus, I see it. And of course, that's nobody's fault. That's the very nature of having a large university. But there is, I believe, more efficient ways in which we can actually handle that waste. And I think that incorporating some of the data, as James had mentioned and other folks have mentioned, is really important for making this a more palatable resolution for the administrators. I don't think that the last clause, as Marcy had mentioned, would necessarily not go over so well, but I think when you receive a letter or a resolution like that, with that sort of language, you have immediate desire, it's almost like an immediate reflex to come and fight back against that. And that's, of course, not what we want. But finding that balance between being a little bit, allowing us to get pushed over and really making sure that our voices are heard is important.
Thomas?
Thank you. I just want to add a little bit to what Caroline mentioned before, because you're expressing some skepticism about whether the university really cares about this. And I just need to mention two major undertakings. Okay, there's the borehole that you visited,
which
is not a joke.
No, not at all.
And it's not cheap. No. And if it works, it's going to save an enormous amount of money.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that you may not be aware of, because you haven't been here very long, is that the university, about 10 or 15 years ago, tore up all the roads between here and the Cayuga Lake, put pipes down, and runs a lake source cooling system in the lake, which saves an enormous amount of electricity. Again, done at huge expense. So I don't think it's going to be productive to accuse Cornell University of not taking this issue seriously.
Yeah.
Frankly, the amount of energy that these garbage cans may save is utterly trivial compared to what's going on in lake source cooling currently. And what might happen if we're really lucky, and there's no guarantees, if the borehole project actually works. So I would really tone that down because it's just going to sound so.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I really do, and I don't take it personally. I don't think.
No, I don't mean it.
Yeah, I know you don't
mean
it
in terms of making right. the argument, and maybe even perhaps making you aware of things. I mean, obviously, you know about the Borel project.
Right, right.
But lake source cooling, many of you have known, perhaps no idea what I'm talking about.
I didn't have a head yet.
There's a little park on Stewart Park down on the lake on the
right.
east shore.
Right.
If you look behind there, there's a thing that looks like a factory.
Okay.
It's a giant heat exchanger.
Interesting. All right. I'll
definitely. And that is how we get our cooling in all the major buildings on campus. And it also cools it to high school, by the way. That was part of the stop to the city to let us do it.
I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. I know we've had a lot of feedback from the group here this point. Continue conversation or entertain a motion to table this amendment, which folks are aware that allows the team to take a lot of this feedback and input that has been provided, be able to work that within the committees and have a further discussion. So with that, I'll turn to Nick.
Thanks, Brandon. I'd like to move to send this resolution back to the sponsors, because I feel like if we table it, we have to do an amendment, whereas if we send it back to them, then they can just amend it freely and bring it back. Or I guess if the sponsors don't want that, then I'll retract that motion.
We have a motion to send back to the sponsors. Jacob?
I'd make a counter proposal.
We don't have a second for the motion at
right.
this time.
I'll wait.
Second for the motion. We can have conversation in regards to the motion.
Personally, I look a little bit more favorably on adding the amendments to the spinal clause, and then bringing that back and getting more thoughts on that, as I think that there's a pretty reasonable solution we could find here of changing the tone. I don't think that's a large problem. I think it's a hard fix. I don't think it's a challenge. As well as I also think there already is a lot of sources included in here that we can incorporate that have just sadly not made to the print copy, it seems like. So concerns with that could be made just in simply the printing of it. As well as I think concerns with the committee, this resolution, clearly lays out the importance of the site committee hands-on. So I don't think there's going to be a challenge with incorporating that. So unless, I don't want to speak to the co-sponsors, but I think it makes a little bit more sense if we look to table this now and then amend it in the future on the floor.
Did you have one there,
Richard? A question. I thought the original intent was to refer this resolution to the infrastructure committee. So if we did that, it would satisfy Nick's point, returning it to sponsors, but also your other direction. I mean, yeah.
Thanks, so, Chair, one did I think?
Yeah, I don't feel that it's very beneficial just to have amongst the three of us. I think that you touched on that before. Bring it back to the committees.
Yeah, I was thinking the infrastructure committee is more than the three of
you. Oh, absolutely.
So if we referred it to the infrastructure committee.
Right. It would satisfy what Nick had mentioned. Yeah, that's why I think that proposal would be much more encompassing than Nick's.
Yeah, I thought that was the original intent.
Right, right.
So we can move that.
Sure.
Well, I'll go back to Nick. We have the conversation in the current motion.
Yeah, I'll just retract my proposal, and I agree that sending it to the infrastructure committee is the best move, just so that we don't have to workshop it in the actual UA meeting, but we have a finished product that we can discuss at the next meeting. That was my only intention with this.
All right, so Nick has retracted his original motion, so then we could entertain a motion to send to the CITE committee.
I will make that motion.
All right, I'll say.
We have motion and seconded. Any discussion? All right, so that will go ahead and vote. All those in favor, raise your placard high so Casey can see them. And put your hand up on Zoom. Or, yes, there you go. Yes, your hand up, either one.
15. David, are you voting?
David is voted in the affirmative as well. Any opposed? All right, and I voted in the affirmative, and I usually abstain, but we're going to go with that. So no abstentions. All right. I was so honored. I appreciate it. I think this is. I just want to know this is the really what I hope for in these meetings is to have discussion, have conversation, allow the sponsors and the groups doing it. So thank you for that motion to allow them time to make those edits and changes and get that feedback because it's greatly appreciated from everyone. All right, with that, we're going to move to assembly reports. We'll start with the student assembly.
Yeah, y'all lucked out again, so it's just me today. There actually is currently a student assembly meeting going on, so that's kind of the confusion here. All of that pertains to exactly everything we went over in our only one meeting we had between the past university assembly meetings because previous Thursday was obviously Thanksgiving. So we had a meeting on the 18th, which was ostensibly just a byline meeting, as which is the current one that is going on today, as which is currently slated to be most of what goes on the next Thursday, as we're currently finishing all of the byline fundings. There's about like 10 organizations I could list off, but I don't know if it's really relevant to you all right now. But we did see two appeals, and other than that, it seems to be going, and it looks like we'll just get it in time. So, yeah, I'd be open to any questions you have that influence.
What was the nature of the appeal?
Yeah, so we had an appeal from Students Helping Students, which is an organization that has seen a lot of its core function change in the pandemic. As they, essentially Student Helping Students, it's like a special funding project for specific cases where students might need emergency funding. They appealed the decision to allocate them $1 back to the request of $5 that was passed in the student assembly. I specific questions regarding that. And then the additional one was the Professional Fraternity Council, which their funding was dropped down to zero, so if you remove from the byline funding, and they have other funding options through SAFC and other stuff that they expose to us. They asked to be funded, I believe, 50 cents, so they would be a byline organization in future years if they needed to. But the decision made by the assembly again there was to not fund them, and so they are removed from the byline. So Students Helping Students had a successful deal. The Professional Fraternity Council did not.
Question, what is a byline organization?
Oh, I'm so sorry. So student organizations are funded through multiple avenues. A lot of clubs are funded through SAFC, which is just a direct funding organization that allocates money to clubs for specific things, specific events. Byline organizations are larger umbrella organizations that can fund specific club organizations, specific events, or larger groups on campus. They span from everything from Slope Day to the athletics department to, in this case, the Freshman Training Council and Students Helping Students. So, yeah,
sorry, it's funding.
Yes, yeah. So every 2 years we have an allocation process of where those go. So this is this year and next year's.
Any questions for we'll move on now to the DPSA.
Yeah, so we had a meeting last night, very productive, and got a resolution passed regarding COVID-related restrictions surrounding food. We had several clubs come forward and work with our advocacy committee to draft a resolution stating that if the specifics around it were a little bit unclear. But the final resolution passed stating that if the university is in green, that student organizations should be able to have food, specifically since like they're not able to move outside during the wintertime and have events outside, because that was the current procedure, is if you were outside you could have food. And so clubs were very concerned about being able to get support and engagement. So that was something that they felt very strongly about, and it passed unanimously among our body. We're also working through the byline funding cycle. We're working on trying to figure out a special meeting later this week or next to get those all sorted out. So very, very busy in our camp.
Questions for Preston? We'll move on to the employee assembly now.
Not a lot to report because of the holiday break.
President Pollack and Vice President Opperman did join us at our last meeting in November. They took questions mostly about, as you would expect, workplace flexibility and the things that affect everyday work of employees at Cornell, less big picture, although we did talk about brain drain, potential brain drain. We also appointed an EA member to the infrastructure committee, and I think you got her info, but if not, I'll send it to you. And hopefully tomorrow we will have a staff member and employee assembly member for the campus welfare committee, and then I think we're down to one empty seat for UA committees.
Any questions for Destin? All right, we'll move on to the faculty senate.
So I was hoping to be able to update the UA on three pending resolutions that we brought to the Senate in November. Two of them were about transparency for tenure and in terms of the tenure process. And then the third was a faculty-sponsored resolution on the role of the Faculty Senate in approving the global hubs and the creation of global hubs in the Vice Provost of International Affairs office. We had a technical difficulty with our Qualtrics link. We think we've solved it. So I have updates for the UA when we get back together next time. And we'll also have had our December meeting by the time we meet again, so I should have more for you.
Thanks, Steve. Any questions for you? With that, we will move on to committee reports, and the executive committee did not meet last week, so nothing to report there. So we'll move into the Code and Judicial Committee.
So we're going to have our second meeting on December 2nd, which is Thursday. I mean, nothing concrete to report as of yet, but for the CJC members, I'd like to please implore you to come with, brainstormed ideas about basically how to delineate and improve the role of the CJC under the new code. I'll be sending out the agenda for our meeting either this evening or tomorrow morning. That's pretty much it.
Questions for James? James is working on a rename of the committee.
Exactly. Yeah. So, two separate resolutions. One of them goes to the role itself, and then the second is to the new name. I'll outline some of the concerns about, some of the talking points about what the new name should encompass in the agenda. But yeah, if you've got any naming suggestions, I'm prepared with those as well.
Questions for James? All right, we'll move to the Campus Welfare Committee. Deborah?
Hello. We met Monday of this week. And first off, we have three committee vacancies, the undergraduate student representative, the faculty representative, and the graduate and professional student assembly representative. So we're missing those three. We had a great meeting this week. Michelle Arteby, the Director of Workforce Wellbeing, came and talked to us about what her office does and ways in which we can support each other. And from the discussion from that, we pulled out two main ideas to start thinking about and exploring and collecting some data on for possible future resolutions. One is around how we go about supporting people right after a crisis, and or what proactive information and training would look like for what to do during a crisis. The other topic that drew a lot of interest is where we're at with getting a new pool at Helen Newman, or the pools on campus and the status of them for people's wellness and well-being. So we are going to be collecting some data and talking to someone from campus life next. That's where we're at. Thank you.
Any questions for Deborah? If you have questions, go ahead, James, and then
Yes, so something that crossed my mind recently was whether we've kind of been balancing, you know, because I feel like a lot of the social distancing concerns are just looking at basically keeping people apart as much as possible. But bearing in mind that, you know, students are still living close quarters and most likely fraternizing outside of those, like, official gatherings and outside off campus, are we balancing, like, the benefit to students in terms of, like, their immune systems and whatnot from physical activity and things like that, and considering whether to, you know, what the status of community gatherings are on and maybe some pools and whatnot going forward?
So I appreciate your question. I'm not sure that that's an area for the Campus Welfare Committee. We take, you know, when anything COVID related, we take our guidance from the university and New York State. So, and for student mental health, they just created the Mental Health at Cornell website, which includes all of those elements in one place of how to get resources for physical, mental, social health. Does that help?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I was just going to speak to what Deborah said about the pools. I was really impressed by what we got to talk about there that day because it wasn't something on the agenda, but it rather came out of a discussion of a lot of mutual interest coming together and recognizing a possibility of a future resolution. So if anyone's interested in that, it seems like it could be a really cool project, and really looking forward to working on it with the rest of you, with the committee, and then hopefully the Assembly in the future. So.
Exactly. Eve?
I was also going to ask about the pools.
It's a hot topic.
It turns out it is a hot topic.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a hot topic, yeah.
So at the end of our faculty senate meetings, we have a good of the order. And so this came up from one of the senators about the state of the pools. And then I was in the Senate Committee for Physical Education, and the state of the pools came up there in front of the provost. So it seems like and there's pressure I know from alum from the swimming team. And so I feel like if we were able to create something formal to present as a resolution, I think that would be really compelling and wonderful.
I think so. It is a hot topic. We also heard that the polo team has to practice at Ithaca College, and a lot of staff and faculty are going to the Y because they, you know, can't swim here. And also we heard from some folks that there used to be a women's only swim time that gave some folks a level of comfort, and that's not happening in Mayo either. So there was a lot about the pools that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Deborah?
Thanks for whatever.
Thanks so much. And now I'm going to the infrastructure, technology, and the environment.
All I'll say is that, you know, site is going to be busy workshopping this resolution we discussed earlier this meeting, and have to get an update back to you.
Great. Thank you so much. Any of the liaison reports? Right down there.
On the search committee, we had a really productive meeting today, and hopefully we're going to be in a really good spot by the end of this week. Nothing to report yet, but it's like really the real action stages. So should be reporting back very soon with the final results of that. So.
Thanks so much. Pete, did you have your hand up still from before, or does it now go to Nick?
If anyone has any way to contact the Student Health Benefits or the Student Health Insurance Committee, I would really appreciate it because I would love to liaise, but I don't know when they're meeting. Or where?
I'm creating the acronym now, but the Student Assembly Health Committee works with them, my understanding a fair bit. I can put you in contact with the chair of that, and she could probably connect you to that committee. But yeah, that's all I got.
Ian, everybody's on the response.
Yeah, this is a response to Nick. Nick, I'm actually on that committee, and we meet tomorrow. So
really skipping the lane.
Yeah. So if you want, we're meeting tomorrow at 4:45. I can send you that link.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Preston, for getting that connection to happen. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. Now we'll go over to Ian to get a report.
Yes. My report is on the Carbon Neutral Campus Committee, which met last week on November 22nd. The two significant items discussed were an update from the Green Hydrogen Working Group, which is currently exploring the use of fuel cells versus combustion gas turbines. You know, the background on this is that the Earth Source, you know, heating project, even if it does work, there is still going to be a possible surge demand for energy, particularly in the wintertime. And there are alternative, you know, ways to sort of address that surge. So there was some discussion about the use of fuel cells, which are the more green option. But, you know, the comparative downside discussed is there is already a large legacy plant infrastructure in place with the existing Cornell power plant, which could be adapted to burn, you know, hydrogen through the combustion gas turbine process. So that's the trade-off. That's principally what the committee is, the working group is examining now as to how to reconcile those two issues. The other significant item was discussion of the Borehole Observatory. You know, an update was delivered you know, by Burke Land, which included several significant milestones. The observatory has received its first federal approval from the FAA to put the mast on the drill rig up in the airspace around Ithaca. Other approvals are still in process, but I hope to have some updates on those soon. A couple other things that were discussed. The challenges associated with Cornell operating as the operator, as opposed to outsourcing the operation to another company, which was the plan as originally developed. So this involves Cornell doing a lot more detailed and technical work than they would ordinarily do. So there's going to be, there are probably going to be some kinks associated with working that out. Another thing that came up in discussion was that there seems to be a misunderstanding amongst the campus community of what the Borehole Observatory will do vis-a-vis the Earth Source Heating Project. The Borehole Observatory is largely designed to test the efficacy of the Earth Source Heating Project and will not actually be generating an energy source for Cornell. So there was some discussion and some proposals for brainstorming about how to maybe message that better and to get everybody, you know, on board with what it actually is, and also allay some concerns that might not be, you know, directly tied to that because of the difference of perception between Earth Source Heating and the Borehole Observatory. In relation to the Borehole Observatory, as an addendum, there's also some discussion about hot water conversion on East Campus, which is probably going to be delayed until next fall when the Borehole Observatory is done. A little more bandwidth for the university, and probably going to need to delay, you know, some of the capital that would be needed for that, pending some of the challenges with the Borehole Observatory. Questions?
Questions for you?
What's the most optimistic and not necessarily feasible notion of how soon, if the Borehole Observatory produces a result that you know, is positive, could this actually convert into a functioning heating plant? Has anybody talked about the potential timeline there?
You know, I'm not 100% positive about this, but I think I remember from an earlier meeting discussion of assuming things were done with the Borehole Observatory by fall, and we could roll into, you know, relatively recent construction of Earth Source Heating.
Well, and they get good results.
And they get good results. You know, it would, I seem to have the year 2024 in my brain, but I'm not sure if that's for starting construction or if actually.
So I could live to see this. I mean, that's really what I'm asking. Yeah. Just a curiosity. Probably not.
And we have the group coming, that'll be at our January 25th.
I know.
So they'll be able to give us some good answers. Great question. Any other questions for Ian? Yeah. All right. With that, then we're still at 5:30, so I'd like to just provide time for any open forum or questions or conversation. Nick.
Hey, thanks so much. I won't hold people up for very long. I just have a really quick question. So based on some estimates that I've made, there's about 150 people at Cornell that are students, faculty, staff, both graduate and undergraduate, that work either as firefighters or EMTs in local Tompkins County fire departments or EMS agencies, or volunteer, not work. So up until a few years ago, Cornell used to offer discounted parking for university affiliates that volunteer their time to support the local community through emergency medical or fire services. And recently that program has been phased out, but there hasn't really been an explanation as to why. So I was wondering if anyone at the UA might have institutional knowledge about this that we can talk about offline. And if not, whether the UA would be interested in at all discussing something about bringing that back, because a lot of these people leave campus during their work hours or during their school hours to go and help others in our community. And then when they come back, there's no more parking on campus. So really the idea is to offset that additional cost that they have to like have to get a daily decision parking spot when they come back.
Comments or?
Yes, right. I think we should have a session if we have time and opportunity on parking generally. You know, we've done this in the past several years ago. The parking fees that Nick is talking about, they're really, to my mind, they're a tax on employment. And we really should have a discussion about the relative allocation of those spots, the fees that are charged, and so forth and so on. I think it'd be a good idea. I think it is the most, we were gearing up for this year. It is a topic that we as the executive committee heard most often. So I think we should have a session.
Thomas?
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't know anything about the reduced parking fees for volunteers. But the one comment I wanted to make was that I have observed once a rule change get reversed by pressure. There used to be motorcycle permits here that you got for a motorcycle for $50 for the life of the motorcycle. And at one point, they went to an annual fee structure. So if you now register a new motorcycle, you have to pay an annual fee. And they were going to get rid of what the promise had been, the lifetime permits that were on a lot of employees' bikes. And there was some pushback, and they actually folded on that. So it might not be futile, is my point. Try to argue this one.
Thank you. I'll turn to you.
So, Nick, I feel like I've heard something about those permits. Is she the director of transportation? I think she comes to the employee assemblies, employee welfare committee meetings regularly. And I feel like in the past few years, I've heard something. So I'll do some looking, and I may contact the committee chair to see if she has information. But I will say that if we can have them come to the university assembly, Bridget is always very willing to talk and be and explain where we are or why decisions are made or if they're looking into changing a decision. I think she's been a really great partner with the employee assembly, and so I imagine that if we were able to bring her in, she could probably answer Nick's question like you get it.
Thank you, Jessica. And Brigitte said parking is a contentious subject, and she's, you know, fortunate in the fact that she's always got job security. There's always conversation around parking and what it means and how it works. But also knows that it's hard to find a system that works. But she has been very open to hearing feedback and has made some changes. You know, I don't think made every change that we've asked, but I think we've seen some changes that have happened from conversations. So I know she would definitely be able to get 100%.
Yeah, I was just going to second. I'd love to hear that presentation, not just from a student perspective, but also from someone who recognizes issues of transportation in Ithaca and the Cornell community. So I would be more than excited for someone to come, or for her specifically to come.
Okay. Yeah, so Bridget works with us. So Jessica, if you wanted to perhaps just kind of connect on that question that Nick had,
sure.
And then perhaps just I might just connect with her personally just to see if she might be interested in coming. I think with that kind of a presentation, it'd be good to hear some of the concerns you've already heard. Staff that are working hybrid, that they have concerns about, you know, paying full price for a parking permit when they're only working 2 or 3 days a week, which she has responded that this time they're not making any changes, but if there are other specific items that we can ask for her to address, including what you've brought up there, maybe that's helpful as well. Always subject that brings up a lot of conversation, for sure. Other open forum items or discussion? Yeah?
A brief update in regards to the query I got a few minutes ago from Thomas about the timeline for open source heating. So 2024 is not the date for when earth source heating could conceivably come online. That is the date when construction of the borehole observatory is expected to be completed, assuming a April 2022 start of construction. So still many years out.
Yeah, there. Okay. It's life.
It's got to hang on, Thomas.
You never know.
All right. Anything else from folks? Just a reminder before we get any motions to adjourn, this is the last meeting of the 2021 portion of the session. So definitely off to a good start so far. We've had some great conversation and really appreciate everybody's work. And I definitely can see we're starting to get some traction on new concepts and ideas. And really appreciate that from everyone. I hope that everyone has had a wonderful break before and has a good break in the into the new year. I want to just acknowledge that we will readdress food.
Readdress what?
And food in the coming year in the event that there are changes to the restriction. And I have had conversation with Gina to discuss, you know, what are our options in looking at food availability. I know some of the event guidelines were lifted or modified a bit for the holiday gatherings and things of that nature. So we do have some potential opportunity coming up. So we will readdress and look at that, potentially having food available in the coming year in the event that those restrictions are shifted and lifted. And then, Gina, you still owe Richard a clock. You took that. So just want to remind you of that. I'm not just kidding. Listening in. all right. With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn or any other further discussion.
I'll be the sacrificial lamb. I motion to adjourn.
All right. Seconded by Richard. Any opposed? Seeing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all so much.
And thanks to Brandon.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.